And I pray now that our minds be right and ready, Lord, to hear you speak to us tonight through your word. And we just pray for our testimony, Lord. We pray for salvation, that those that don't know you yet know you, Lord. And just help us, Lord, to be everything that we should be and could be. If we just give our life over to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message is really the points that I want to talk about tonight. Put off, put on, put away. Three things that we see in our text. The text like speaks for itself. Several, you know, here lately, I think sometimes God speaks this way to us. Like you'll hear something over and over again. It's just like, you know, just you hear something. And so Sunday before last when we had we did the video with Ed Moore, the interview with Ed Moore and Brother Vaughn. And Ed Moore said, you know, he looked around his church and he was talking about praising God. I mean, that's a pretty basic thing. You know, I mean, we're not good at it. and sometimes we've been worse at it. But, you know, praising God. And Ed said, you know, I looked around and I saw this. And he said this one statement. He said, I looked around. I think we just need to back up. We need to get back and get back to the basics of Christianity, of our Christianity. And then when Brother Dwayne was here preaching one of the nights, he said something to that effect about just getting back to the basics. Man, sometimes we're trying to go farther. You know, I saw somebody, I don't know, a pastor sent me a text, email. And I think he commented on something that was said, but it wasn't anything I said or preached on. I think he had the wrong guy. But then he commented about a verse, and I didn't really agree with what he had to say with it. I just had to talk to him about it one time. But he was talking about the verse where it talks about leaving behind those former things and, you know, moving ahead. And the way he defined it as leaving those things and just forgetting about them, we don't need them anymore. That's not true. See, what that verse is talking about is like we don't stay in kindergarten forever, basically, is what it's saying. You know, we move ahead. Like we all learned the ABCs, well, most of you did, learned the ABCs when you were, you know, pretty small. Well, we don't forget the ABCs. We still know the ABCs. We still use them, whether we realize it or not, but we use the alphabet, but we've moved on to deeper, but we still never forget them. And so I think, you know, we have to go back to the basics from time to time. There's things that we really need to talk about. And so, you know, we overlook, I said this morning, we talked about faith. We were looking at Gideon and the faith that they had, you know, to go up. Well, like I said, they were outnumbered to start with. They were 32. There was 32,000 of them, and there was still 135,000 Midianites. They were still outnumbered, but God got them down. But, you know, faith. We hear that word faith all the time, and it just goes in one ear and out the other because it's faith, 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 faith. But, you know, really the exercise of it or really using faith, you know, that's a different story than just knowing what faith is. Oh, here it is. We're going to talk about faith. Sometimes I remember we talk about prayer. You think you know how to pray? No, you don't. we're weak sometimes on prayer life. I'm not saying nobody knows, but, you know, you can learn a lot about praying. But you hear somebody say, hey, we're going to talk about prayer. Oh, we're going to talk about prayer. I've been hearing that all my life. Well, eventually we'll get it right, you know, as we get back. And I think we kind of overlook things in Christianity. Like, here's one. Here's a forsaken basics of Christianity. How about repentance? Huh? What about that? You know, that's not a very popular topic. You could clean a church out in a heartbeat, go into some big churches and start preaching on repentance and see the crowd thin out pretty quickly on that. But repentance, you know, faith, like I said, you know, just grace, mercy, the prayer, all those basic things. There's deeper things, our position in Christ, if you get to understand where you are there. I mean, that helps out. But there's basic things. And that's what I want to talk about that. Look what he said in verse 20 before I get to the point. He talked about there, you know, and he talks about, Paul is speaking to Christians. Get this right. So he's speaking to Christians. This is a letter to a church. And he's talking about, because he uses that phrase as their former conversation, he talks about it. He said this, I'll start up at 17. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, from now on, henceforth from what? Since you got saved. You walk not as other Gentiles, so he's talking to Gentiles, that tells us. And in the vanity of their mind. Because everything we do, you know, heart and mind goes together. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance, through the ignorance that's in them. See, they didn't know. They don't know. Ignorance isn't used in a derogatory way that here. It's just telling them they didn't know. Because of the blindness of their heart. So there's a heart that's blind. It's affected their mind. So these are lost people who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. In other words, there's no conviction. There's no thought of repentance. To work all uncleanness with greediness. So what it is, that's all the works of the flesh. That's what you do when you don't have God. I mean, listen, you know, John Lennon sang, you know, imagine there's no heaven and no hell. And everybody living for today. You know what the world would be like if everybody was living for today? Pretty much like the world we're living in right now. Yeah. Huh? We'd just be ruthless. I'd be ruthless. Nobody'd be saved. Huh? I don't need no money. I go to the bank and get it. I mean, everybody would just be ruthless. That's pretty much what we got. Everybody living for today, like there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no judgment day. We're not going to stand before God. So let's just everybody get what you can get, huh? Be like the Wild West multiplied. Well, like I say, kind of like today, right? That's what it'd be. So they've given their mind over to that because they don't know God. Their mind is affected because their heart is blind. That's what it's telling us. But then, this is the verse in verse 20, but ye that are saved, you Christians, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You haven't learned this. Notice there's an emphasis on the mind there, the outlook of the believer. Now notice what it said. It didn't say that you have learned about Christ. He said, you have not so learned Christ, because it's possible to learn about Christ and still not be saved. Listen, there's people sitting in churches all over the place today or tonight that have not gotten saved. Amen. But they learn about Christ. You know, we come up through. I knew about Christ to some degree before I ever got saved. I was never an atheist, never an agnostic. Went to, you know, a little kid, man, we sang all the songs we did, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Didn't know what, you know, I mean, we didn't think about the theology here, you know, we're just singing. I prayed, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Man, I believed there was a God, right? But I wasn't saved, man. I didn't see myself as a sinner and my need to be saved. I just thought I'd be good enough to get to heaven. Missed it by that much. Would have missed it by that much. No, I wasn't good enough, okay? So we see an emphasis on the mind, but learned Christ. That's talking about this. It's talking about a relationship. Talking to somebody recently, and they kept saying, well, I did it. I remember when I did it. And they were talking about their profession. I remember when I got saved. Now, I remember when I did it. Listen, it's not a did it thing and it's over with. That's not, you know, it's not because you prayed. It's like a magical prayer. Had a great conversation with that couple that was here going back to, they're from Pennsylvania. Yeah, they were going back. And they were talking about that. They were talking about this relationship. The guy's wife, she had a Catholic background. You know, she said, yeah, man, I thought I was saved. But I remember when I did it. No, what you need to remember is you remember the day that a relationship with Jesus Christ started in your life. Huh? And now you have, you know, what is a relationship? I wanted to preach about that one day. I'll just throw a little bit in there right now. What is a relationship? If you ever, you see on Facebook, everybody, so-and-so's in a relationship, you know? Everybody's in some kind of relationship, right? But I know what they mean, you know, romantic. They're in a relationship. What's in a relationship? What do you do when you're in a relationship? Huh? Well, yeah, you think about them all the time, huh? You remember y'all old people got to think way back, man, huh? Way back, huh? I remember I had a girlfriend one time. Boy, she was nice. She was a nice girl, and I had her picture, man. And I'd be at work, it'd get kind of slow, man. Huh? Put it back in my pocket. Yeah, man, that's what we do. You know, and you think about it, and as soon as you get off work, boy, you run, I drive, fast as a six-cylinder Rambler Marlin would go, back to the house, take a shower, you know, and you're running up the steps, and you get there, and then you act all cool, kind of. Yeah, I just thought I'd stop by. You know, couldn't wait to get there, right? Well, you couldn't wait, you wanted to see them, right? You wanted to talk to him, huh? You know, you kind of wanted to get close to him, right? That's the relationship. Well, okay, how's your relationship with the Lord going here? Yeah, same thing. Think about him all the time, huh? Get a picture right here. Here's your picture of the Lord right here. Look in his word, man. He's talking to me. I see him. Huh? Want to get close to him. Huh? You know, different kind of love, but still a love. It's a relationship. That's it. It's not an act. Well, I went forward and I came to the altar and I asked the Lord to save me and I got baptized. And that's it, right? It's a relationship. Well, this is what happened. This is how you learned Christ. Results. What happens when we have personal knowledge? Now, how do you get to like somebody in the human relationship? You find out about them. You like their personality or not. And then it usually doesn't go well. But, you know, you like somebody. You like the personality. They got the same likes or kind of likes. Or sometimes opposites attract. You know, they do something. They like something that you don't, you know, it's just different. Not that you don't like it. Okay, you find out. You find out that in a relationship. And it grows, right? Personal knowledge. And then what happens when we think about it in a spiritual way, we start learning more about Christ, it results in personal growth. That's how you start having growth. You find out you're not going to grow, so you can't grow without that. You can't grow. So when we think about this, the stagnancy that is prevalent, and this came up too. I've preached about it plenty of times, and I think it came up with Dwayne. The stagnancy that we see today in church is really in the personal growth area. It's just, you know how water, you know where water don't get stagnant is in a stream going downstream. It doesn't get moss where the water's moving. It doesn't get moss. It doesn't get that, you know, in the green. I grew up in Virginia Beach, man, this time of year between pollen and algae, you know, you get that film algae on the top of the water, man, it didn't look good. Didn't happen in fast-moving water, right? So, see, it's the same way with our life. It's moving. If our life is growing, we're not going to get stagnant. It's not staying life. And so, it's the reason that we see stagnancy is people just stop growing. And it happens for a lot of reasons. Get away from God, quit reading the Word, quit praying, quit being around Christian people. Your life will get stagnant. So, I got three things that Paul tells us right here that we're going to use for our points. Put off, put on, and put away. And the very first one, he said in verse 22, and he's talking to Christians, remember that. He talked about the Gentiles, and he talked about how these people were, this is what they were before they got saved up here, really. You could use this 17, 18, 19, you know, the other ones before salvation, this was these same people. And then he said in verse 20, but ye, you folks, you saved folks, have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle, the former life. You put off the former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And lust, there's all kinds of lust. It's not just sexual. There's lust, you know, for money and fame and power and position and all the things that you get preoccupied with in your life, right? There's that's kind of love. So you put this off. And so put off that old lifestyle. I believe that people know, there's people when you got saved, knew even before you asked Jesus, well, first you had to see yourself as a sinner, but how many of you knew also, and I'll get to this again, I'm probably way ahead of myself, but how many of you knew that there was some stuff you're just going to have to get rid of out of your life? Huh? I mean, you knew that already, right? You knew it. Well, how did you know? Well, Holy Spirit, there's conviction there. I mean, we're that smart, right? We knew that we had to put some things off. And so, like I said, this is addressed to Christians and really what to do as a Christian, that there's things that we got to put off that we need to get rid of. And it's not only things, there's attitudes and there's desires that are going to be different that need to change. We need to say, listen, I got to get my mind in another. And it's a command, you know, to do that. The former life, the conversation, the one that we lived before we got saved. Listen, if you made a profession in Christ, well, this is real basic. If you made a profession in Christ and you're still living the same life that you always lived, you didn't get saved. Can't happen. Acid and water are not going to mix. Holy Spirit and the old life is not going to mix. The light, and I'm not saying you're living a perfect life, but I'm saying there's conviction, there's a change, there's you know, you start moving, your mind starts changing about things, how you look at life, the outlook of life. There's got to be something that's different. And this is basic Christianity. This is it. I mean, Pete's sake, you don't have to have a degree in theology, a doctorate in theology to know that when we get saved, that we're being saved from something to something, and that you know, some things have got to change, should change in our life. If we didn't have anything needed changing, we wouldn't need to get saved. Well, we get saved from what? Myself, you know, that's the big problem. And notice this, he says, put off, that is a command. It's in the aorist tense. That means it's active. It means it's an action there, an action of putting off, a deliberate break from the old way of life. You know, here's the thing about it. This is where some people get it wrong. Well, man, I got to quit doing this and quit doing that and quit doing this. The problem is their thinking doesn't change. The heart doesn't change. It's just like that's like rules and regulations. You know, don't do this. And it's not talking about how you get saved. It's talking about what to do after you get saved. But what God should make a change in our mind. The mind is mentioned there a couple times. And the heart. God makes a change in our mind. This is basic stuff. Listen, if you're, you know, and so like I could quit, like I might not want to eat them cookies in the cookie jar. Let me reword it. I want to eat them. That's the problem. No, I might not eat the cookies in the cookie jar and say, hey, I don't need to eat the cookies in the cookie jar, but I want to. And I don't mean way down inside either. I mean just right there, you know, right under there. I want to eat them. But boy, when you know, who's going to win that battle? The cookies. But when I get my mind really changed, I get my heart changed, and I just say, you know, when I realize, hey, I don't want to eat them, you know, I my mind is changed about it, which hasn't happened as far as cookies go. Or donut holes either. Somebody, Sherry, come home with donut holes from the ladies' thing. Huh? They're good. But if your heart doesn't change about it, you're going to lose, right? So your mind has got to change. And sometimes that's not that may be a gradual thing, the sanctification process. You know, your mind starts changing more and more towards things. But I mean, I think this has that old way of thinking. You know, we like to get, boy, when you're lost, boy, you just love to get revenge, don't you? And there's a lot of saved people like it too. But you need to change that thinking right there. Like there's, you know, there's, it's not just physical action here, but internal things, heart, mind, you know, way you think. Old habits, sure. Huh? Old habits, you know, that's got to change too. Yeah, you know, you had to quit your drug dealing and you got to quit your drug doing. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you got that change, you know, when you get saved. Old habits, behaviors. How, you know, attitudinal behaviors, man. We shouldn't react the same way as we were when we were lost. It should be a different thing, right? And the way it's written there, it means it's a decisive action. It's not just going to happen. Well, I just can't wait till I'm totally changed and my mind's, you know, it's you have to make a decision here. It's a decision. This is what I'm going to do. And it means a continuous action, not a one-time thing. You're always going to have to keep doing this. You're always going to have to make it. That's what it's talking about, putting off. We got to put off that old stuff. You know, there's the great illustration in the Bible, and we just had Easter, and right before the crucifixion, just a week or two before that, is when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. Remember when Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth? And when Lazarus come out of the grave, Jesus said, he said, loose him and let him go. Now, loose him, what he meant was the grave clothes that they put on him, they wrapped him up, you know, and it was like a mummy. They wrapped him up in grave clothes. He said, loose him and let him go. In other words, he don't need grave clothes no more because he's coming out of the grave. He's not hanging around back in there in that old domain, that old domain of death. Now he's alive. He's coming out of there. Don't need him. My pastor, when I got saved, he used to have a message he preached about dragging dead things behind you after you get saved. Why would you drag something dead along behind you? You know, he'd have a graphic illustration of that, and it doesn't make sense. So here you see, you put off the when you're living in the grave, you need the grave clothes, or you have the grave clothes. But when you come out of the grave, you don't need them any longer. That's the picture of the resurrected life. See, we don't need all that old stuff that we used to have, all the old crutches and all the old things, the places I used to go, the places I used, the things I used to do, the thoughts I used to have. All that stuff's got to change, you know, changes. And God starts changing you. How? By the washing of the renewing of your, and regeneration and renewing of your mind by the Word of God, by the Spirit. Huh? I think I wrote that verse down here somewhere. I'll find it and I'll get it right. But that's what happens. This book right here, when we get in the Word, it changes our mind. But, you know, you do have to get in the book. Yeah, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, verse 23. Look at verse 23 right in our text. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, right up in verse 17, he talked about them walking in the vanity of their mind when they were lost. Now they get saved. You have not so learned Christ, ye being the saved people. And then he goes on, put off that concerning the former conversation, the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now your mind changed. You got to get your mind changed. What's going to change your mind? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. It changes your mind. This is basic Christianity. We forget all this stuff sometimes. We're trying to get some kind of fancy outline together. This is basic stuff. And that's what we have to do, renew our mind. Well, what do you feed it? What do you feed your mind? Now, if you feed it with the flesh, it's going to be flesh. You feed it with the world, it's going to be worldly. You feed it with the Word of God, it's going to be spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Then, so that's what we have to do. And I think, you know, why does so many Christians, you think about, I'm talking about Christians now. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not expecting the world to be the lost people who live like a Christian. But why do so many Christians struggle in the area of that old life? Why do they struggle in that area of that old life? That old man so much. Because it's the life they're most used to. Depending on when you got saved. I was 32 years old when I got saved, roughly, or about to be 32, I think, when I got saved. So, man, I lived a long time apart from Christ. You're used to that life. That's what you do. You know, you just how you acted, reacted, how you did that, you're used to it. It's the one you know that life better than the other life. So it's a learning process. That's why I said you've not so learned Christ. You have to learn Christ, how Christ did it, you know. Remember back when they, oh, it's been 20 years ago or something, you know, it was a popular phrase, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, how do you know what would Jesus do? Word of God. And you have the Holy Spirit telling you. They even had little bracelet things you wear. What would Jesus do, right? We'd have that. Our mind gets stuck in the old self-life mode. This is a stagnant Christian life, by the way. The old life, the fallen life. So we got to renew our mind. That's what he tells us to do. And you know, you have to know Christ. You have to know the Word, the truth of His Word. But like I said, the Word will not, your mind won't be renewed by it unless you obey it. You know, you have to read it, then you have to do what it says, or negative and positive commands, don't do and do. You know, you have to do that. You have to apply it. And then what happens? Your mind starts to change. You know what happens if your mind and heart are really close? I like the heart to the mind. That's where Romans 10:9, you know, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Not the mind, but believe in the heart. If you believe with, you can believe with your mind and stay lost. I know people today that know how to get saved. They know Jesus died, but they will not. They don't get saved. They say, no, you ask them. They'll say, I'm not saved. Do you want to get saved? No. They're believing with their mind. They got their mind straight, but the heart. You get the heart and the mind, they usually get straight. It's connected, though. It's connected. I understand that. And so what happens is your life gradually starts to change. Just gradually and over time, all of a sudden, I'm living a whole new life than the life I was saved out of. Completely different. Completely different. This isn't what I would have been doing on Sunday evening. Huh? I was probably recuperating from Friday and Saturday on Sunday evening so I could go to work on Monday, right? And that's what you know, laying around feeling bad. So it's different. And then what happens when the mind, the mind and the life, it starts gradually transformed by the Spirit, and then our life is changed. The old man is put off. The old man in my life is dead. I can look through my eyes from the inside out. I can see myself from the outside, and I don't know that guy. I remember the guy, but I don't know him. That's where you have to get, you know, your Christian life comes to that. We don't know the guy. Then he says, in verse 24, the second point, he said, put on. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Man, so we put off the old man and are being renewed in the spirit of our mind, the Word and Holy Spirit. Now we got this other active, another active command to put on the new man, not an old reformed version of the old man, but put on the new man. And this is the man that God intended us to be from the beginning, before sin, the fallen nature, before sin happened. This is the man that we could have been, like God originally created. Now, this didn't catch God off guard by any means, but this is the man. And that is what? Look what he said up there. Put on the new man, which after God has created in what? Two things, righteousness and true holiness. This would be displayed, man. Righteousness is rightness and holiness. That's how God intended us to be. Woo! Boy, mankind is a long way from that, right? Mankind is a long way off from righteous, being right with God, being right with each other. And then true holiness, the holy life. Man, this is what God intended. Now, we can still be it. We can, you know, it's the new man we're putting on. We're really putting on Christ. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's the new man. We can be this. All of a sudden, guess what? New habits replace the old habits. New habits replace the old habits. And new desires replace the old desires. And the way we view things in life, like whole philosophies change with people. Whole philosophies change. I've seen it happen. You know, new ideals and a new outlook on everything. How you look at everything just changes, you know. Boy, this would be a bleak time of the world history to be living without knowing Christ and looking at the news every day. Huh? Woo! Man, you'd have to talk about blood pressure and grumpiness just being the way things are. It's a whole new outlook. And so we have, there's eternity, there's eternal life. Our soul, you know, this is the thing, man. I mean, this is the outlook I have about it. And I can see this more and more the older I get. I know good and well, I know my body's getting older. I mean, I look at the people, I've been looking at pictures, you know, I see people from high school, I think, good night. And what happened to them? How did they get looking like that and I stayed looking so young? I just can't, huh? And then I walk by the car, you know, and I see my reflection in the glass. I say, good night. Same thing, man. But here's the thing. My spirit and my soul is ageless. There's no age to it. Amen. I'm still 14 inside. I mean, no, it's just like, you know, you really realize, you know what? You keep thinking, oh, when I'm older, when I get to be older, I'll be different. Not really. I mean, you might be wiser, and you know, you don't do as many stupid things, hopefully. Some people don't learn, but your soul and spirit is eternal. So it's, I don't know what age it is, if it's fitting in there somewhere. But I feel the same. I feel the same as I did when I was 20. I mean, as far as outlook and life, and you know, that mind is willing, sometimes the body is weak. I still think I can, do a pretty good 100-yard dash and play football. I played out here one time, man. I hurt my back really bad, man. Ryan Hepler throwed a football. I went up to catch it. I got it, but I landed on the pavement on my back. Not good. You think you can do it, man, but it's the thing. It's the thing, our old body, it's just an aggravating thing. This body just gets to be aggravating. Can't hear halfway. Got an ache, you know, you get a kink in your neck, you know, your knee doesn't work right sometime. It's just like, oh, it's just a frustrating thing because my soul and spirit's okay. It's the same age. It's, body. I'm going to get a new body one day. See, we're going to get a new body. Amen. And we're going to need it. We're going to need it, right? Huh, Larry? Huh? You get some new knees and new legs and veins. They give you all that stuff, man. Oh, it's going to be great, man. And we're going to be in heaven eternity. We're going to be this one age, man. But our soul and spirit is still going to be feeling the same way in a certain sense. I mean, we'll be more full of God. But it's just going to be one. It's going to be a new body, man. And so knowing that, it changes my outlook on life. You know, you start changing your outlook on how you view dying. How, you know, the older you get. And I used to wonder about that. I'd see these old guys. I remember these old saints of God, these old preacher, man. He had the coolest hair, man. His hair was snow white. He preached Gerald Kahn's funeral, Mike Kahn's dad's funeral, which Gerald was a pastor too. This guy preached it, and he dressed like Colonel Sanders. You know, he had one of them coats with the long tail on it and then black on trim on the thing, had a suit. And that guy could preach, and his hair was glowing snow white. It was the coolest looking hair that ever was. And you talk to them old guys, and they say, man, I'm looking forward. I can't wait to get to heaven, man, the day I, you know. When you're kind of young, even as a young Christian, you're thinking, well, I kind of like to hang around as long as I can, you know, down here. But we don't get it. But the older you get, the more you start looking, huh? Looking for that promised land, buddy, going on. You're looking for that, and you don't understand it. But see, when you start getting older, you think, hey, man, I got a good outlook. I have eternal life today. I got it now. I'm still here, but I got eternal life. My body may die, but my soul and spirit live forever. We understand that. So our outlook has changed. And now we have this new identity. It's a brand new identity. Paul tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Man, we put on Jesus Christ. It's Christ's life. It's the Christ life. I got an identity. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm an ambassador for Christ. That's a great title, by the way. That's a pretty snappy title if you get to be an ambassador. They don't send anybody to be an ambassador. We're an ambassador for Christ. Man, we got a new title. And you know what? We got to know it. The new man, it's Christ's life within us. And if we know this, this is the knowledge. You have not so learned Christ. If you learn Christ, this is it. It's Him living in you. Man, this is basic. It's kind of basic, although a lot of people don't know this. But this putting off and this putting on, we do know that. And we identify with Christ. And this is what this, now this gets deeper. This isn't the very basic thing, but we identify with Him in death. That old man was put to death. That's what happened to him. He died. And then what happened was the resurrected life was a new life. And now we identify with Him in resurrection. And now Christ lives in us, Holy Spirit. We got to get that in our head. Boy, that puts an outlook on things. Man, I got Christ. He's not up there. I'm not praying to Him up there. I'm not praying to Him right there. I'm praying to Him in here. And boy, I'm walking around and I represent Christ to the world, man. You start talking to people about the Lord, man. It puts a new outlook on things. I'm the one. You know, you're the one if you're saved. We don't have to be stagnant in the old. We don't have to be stagnant like that. Man, the new life. Got it, boy. It's exciting. That couple, they were really on fire for the Lord, them people from Pennsylvania, man. We got to talk to them out there, and we were talking about witnessing to people. And I was telling them about the guy, Randy was hanging around, talking about the guy that I witnessed to in Colorado, my hunting guide I led to the Lord. And then this girl that I met was a female archery hunter, elk hunter, and met her in the woods, ran to her twice. He would say, well, what do you do? He wanted to know. He said, what do you do? How do you get on the conversation? What do you do to somebody? I said, I'll just be real. You know, talk about anything. I just ask him where their head's at with the Lord. He said, that's what you said? I said, yeah. I asked her. I said, where's your head at with the Lord? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, maybe agnostic, maybe atheist. I started talking to her about her soul. Boy, she got quiet and just sat there and let me talk. And I listened to her. Yeah. I told her God loved her like He loved nobody else, more than anybody else. She just started bawling, man. She started crying. She, you know what? Right out in the middle of nowhere. You can talk to people about the Lord, man. This is it. Why? Because who else is going to do it? The lost man's not going to talk to her about the Lord. The government's not going to talk to somebody about the Lord. We got to do it. We know what we are. This new life, man. We have the new life. And wouldn't you want everybody to have it? I mean, shouldn't we want everybody to have that new life? This is the greatest thing ever. Salvation is the greatest thing. Your soul is the most important thing you own. That's the most important thing you own. The greatest thing ever. We got good news. Man, we ought to be the happiest people ever was. But you ought to see what I'm looking at when I look at it. Huh? I mean, really, we ought to be just grinning all the time, look like a mule eating briars, man. Ain't nothing but teeth. We ought to just be happy when we come in. We ought to be happy while we're here. We got something. We got new life. Unless you don't have the Lord. Then you think, but you ought to be happy because you can have the Lord. Huh? You can be happy about that. I mean, man, this is it. And so, we've got new life. And then he said this last thing. Then he went on to say, look, so he told him to put off and to put on. And then he says this last thing. He says, put away. Verse 25, wherefore putting away, and then he goes on down there and talks about it. Now remember, look at this. He's talking to Christians. This isn't how you get saved. He's talking to people that have been saved. He says, put away, look at the first thing, lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. In other words, he didn't say you couldn't be angry, but it's how you respond to the anger that you sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil, which that would. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, Christians, quit stealing. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need, that people that have need. So we're to work so we have money to help others. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, which could be lying and or cussing and other things, slander, just a lot of things. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. He's talking to Christians right there. This is the practical outcome of the inward reality of salvation. And this is that word that everybody gets up to, is repentance. It's repentance. You know, we definitely need to get back to the basics here. Like I said before, who in the world got saved and didn't have the idea by the conscience itself, your conscience, that you just needed to repent from some things when you got saved, huh? Maybe a lot of things, like most of the things. Yeah? How many of you didn't know that? I mean, we knew that, right? I mean, I just can't go and be, but there's a thought today. I mean, they preach today, like I said, the flesh doesn't want to go to hell. So if I just preach the message, boy, you don't want to go to hell. You need to get saved to keep from going to hell. And I don't mention repentance. Well, anybody with a brain would say, well, I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to go up there and get saved. Come up. Or if you want to go to heaven, the flesh wants to go to heaven. Sure it does. Well, if I don't talk about repentance, I say, well, you know, I could get everybody to come to the altar. There's churches, they get people down the altar all the time, but they never talk about repentance. Now, it's not a work salvation. It's not saying that. It's talking about real saving faith produces repentance. You have to have a mind towards it. You got to say, hey, what? You know what? I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of living in sin. I'm sick of what it's doing to me. And I want salvation from that. When you get that right. But see, too many people today, they want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell. And they want to keep their sin at the same time. And I'm going to tell you what, if you had that attitude, you never got saved. You can't get saved and hold on to that, even thinking. I don't think you have the power to repent apart from the Holy Spirit of God, but you could have a mind towards it, a willingness for it, say, hey, I need to repent, you know, and now God give me the strength to do it. I think that's the reality of that. That's a basic thing. And so, listen, you can't be saved if there's no thought or desire to repent. Isaiah, even in the Old Testament, 55:7, says this, is that let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. His thoughts now. Do you know that there's thoughts that we need to forsake? Yeah, there is. Forsake his thoughts and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But he said, let the wicked forsake his way, man. Listen, man, you can't be saved and hold on to your sin. What are you being saved from? if you do that or think you can do that. It's a choice between sin and salvation. Those are the two choices right there. And like I said, the flesh wants to avoid hell. The flesh wants to go to heaven. The flesh always wants to be happy. But the flesh wants to keep on to the sin. And like I say, the appeal to the flesh. Listen, you could go and you could have 1,000 people out there that was lost, and boy, you just appeal to the flesh, and the flesh is going to come down the aisle every time. But you talk about, hey, listen, man, there's repentance. There's things you got to put off. There's things you got to put away, you know, that you need to be doing that. And God will help you in that area right there. And we just got, you know, when we start, we have to see sin like God sees it. Start seeing for what it is. Seeing the way God does. And boy, God give us the power to do it. And like I said, Paul's talking to saved people. You know what? Repentance is still for saved people. We still got, that's telling us that right there. And we need repentance to be spirit-filled. We'll never be filled with the Spirit. This is another thing. You know, there has to be that repentance. Man, I'll tell you what, man, I'm going a long time. I only got 5 more pages of notes, man. Hold on. I'm going to spit it out for you. Listen fast. I'll preach fast. The reason, why aren't all people, you know, we talk about, well, why aren't everybody, why isn't all saved people filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, there's a lot of reasons why, but I think one of the biggest ones is repentance. They just, you know, that's probably at the bottom of most things. People don't want to repent. They're not ready to give up their all for His all. They want, here's what it is. They want something of the world and something of God. My pastor used to call them fence straddlers. You know, fence straddler. You got one foot hanging over on both sides. And neither you're probably not going to be happy either way. Straddle the fence. And they never have a will to surrender self. A lot of times people want Christianity for an afterlife insurance policy. As I said, want to go to heaven, avoid hell. They'll even show up at church regularly. They'll do that. They'll even support the church financially. They may do that. They may even make a few changes in their life. Not necessarily a lifestyle change, but, you know, a few things along the way. Sometimes people come to church and or, if you want to use the term religion, which I don't like it, but there's social Christianity. Vance Havner calls it churchianity. They come to churchianity. Man, they've got social reasons for it. Man, the bingo, the banquet, the ball game, the bowling, the baby showers, and the birthdays. Everything starts with a B. How alliterated that is. Huh? I mean, everything. They want all that. They like it. Just a social gathering, you know, a gathering place. Boy, I know church, and there's nothing wrong with this. I wish we had it. But over there, we had the prayer events. They got the best coffee shop that ever was. I've never seen. That church's coffee shop will compete with anybody's out there. They got good stuff out there. But boy, we got this, that, and the other thing. But I want to know, do you have Christ? You can have that. I mean, we can have the social stuff. Listen, we had a young boy, Wyatt. You know, Wyatt, one time we was at hunting camp. Wyatt, man, Wyatt loves the deer. Man, he loves hunting. He comes to look forward all week to our hunting week. Well, they come down there like Thursday or something. And on Friday, they said, him and Joe said, well, we're going back because they're having a youth meeting at church. Now, that's a good thing and all that. But I was born at night, just not last night, right? And I said, what's her name? Teenage boy, he going to leave deer hunting camp to go back all the way back to church. And I hope he loves the Lord that much. He said, yeah, we're going back. And I was looking at him. I said, what's her name? he knew what I was talking about. He wasn't going back. He wasn't going back to you. Well, it was a youth rally, all right. But, you know, I think there was some other, like a carrot hanging out there, you know, a little girlfriend or something on the way. But listen, they might know a few verses of the Bible, might know a few verses from Aunt Maud. And listen, there's churches. You can build big churches on social Christianity. You can. I'm not saying all big churches are doing that. I'm just saying you can get a crowd with social Christianity. But I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people in those churches, man, they don't believe half the Bible. They don't much less obey it. And repentance, no. Listen, man, you want to thin the crowd out, man. You start preaching on repentance, man. We need that. We need that's a basic Christian tenet. It's basic that we need to repent. So we just need to get back to the basics. Learn Christ. Put off. Put on. Put away. And then it's the truth of God's word. And it's really we're putting on Christ is what we put on. Our position has changed now. I'm a child of God. I've got a home in heaven. My positionally, I'm in Christ right now. Our destination has changed. Whenever I get out of here, my soul and spirit ask from the body present with the Lord. Our purpose has never changed. It's just realized. Our purpose, God made man to glorify himself. That's always been man's purpose, to glorify God. It never changed, but we realize it now. We didn't know it before. We realize it. Our resources have changed. Our resources aren't in self, not in the old man, and the old man no longer has reign in our life. And here's another thing. Get your mind off the old life. Don't let that rule and reign in your life as a Christian now. Get your mind on the new life. You see, we don't have to have it. Like the new man. It's a new man. It's a new day. It's a new life. Come on up, Paul. Hopefully this helped y'all tonight when we think about the basics of Christianity. And then also, we think about, you know, first off, the very first thing is salvation. Make sure that our salvation is a real thing. You know, if you need to be saved. It's not in a one-time act. It's not in a prayer. It's not in a baptism. It's that moment when we had a relationship begin with Christ. And it's a lifelong relationship. It's an ongoing relationship. It may get strained every now and then. We may drift away a little bit, but it's a reality. And, you know, when we talked about what a relationship is that the kind of relationship you have with Christ? Think about him all the time, want to look at him all the time, want to see him all the time? Huh? It's a love affair. It's really a love affair. That only you can answer the question. Only you can.